Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you. In the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, it is our joy, as always, to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries on the Quran. We're obviously still sharing verses from Quran chapter 2, which is the largest chapter in the Quran. It will take a little bit more time than usual to cover this chapter, but after that, the study will go lots faster, because as you realized that when we share some commentaries on some specific verses in chapter 2, which have ties to other chapters in the Quran, we cover it only in chapter 2. Later, we will not go back to these important points. Now, Muslims claim that the Quran is the perfect word of Allah revealed to Muhammad. Every verse, every word, all the Quran was given by Allah to Muhammad through angel Jibreel. But today we will realize, actually, that is not true. Why? Because we will see that Umar, the second successor after the death of Muhammad, shared many words with Muhammad, and Muhammad took them as they are and inserted them in three different locations in the Quran. And Umar told us in the hadith that Allah is in agreement with him concerning these verses. The verse we would like to start with today is Quran chapter 2 and verse 125. And there we read, "And when we made the house," he's talking about the Kaaba, the black building which is in Mecca, "as a resort for people and a haven, and take from the place of Abraham a place of prayer. And we made a covenant with Abraham and Ishmael that purify my house for those who march around it, and the dwellers, and the kneelers, the worshippers." Now, if we just read that verse without looking at the commentaries given by Muslim scholars, we will never figure out that a very important portion of that verse was actually given by Umar to Muhammad. And that is what we read from the teaching by Al-Bukhari and others. He said, "Umar said, I agreed with my Lord in three." He meant three verses. He said, "O Messenger of Allah, if we take from the place of Abraham a place of prayer." So Muhammad took it directly from his tongue and he inserted it in his Quran. And that is what we just have read in Quran chapter 2 and verse 125. And also, Umar told Muhammad, "The righteous and the evil men go inside your house where your wives are. So if you commanded them, they will be veiled." And behold, Muhammad took it once again from his tongue and he inserted in Quran chapter 33 and verse 53. For there we read, "O you who have believed, do not enter the house of the prophet except when it is permitted to you for a meal, but not waiting while it is being prepared. But if you were invited, so enter. So when you have eaten, so depart, and do not engage in familiar conversation. Surely this would harm the prophet, so he would be shy of you. And Allah is not shy of the truth. And when you would ask of anything from them, so ask them from behind the veil. This will be pure for your hearts and for their hearts. And you must not harm the messenger of Allah, nor have sex with his wives after him forever. Surely this is a great offense with Allah." That verse itself will need a long talk so we can understand all the points in it. But to make it short and sweet, Muhammad was jealous of all these men who come to his house. And Umar gave him the advice that some of them are good men and others are bad men. "You better veil your wives." And then Muhammad added to it, of course, that he is a shy prophet. I do not know how can Muhammad be a shy prophet when he was a savage man, beheading people on the right and the left, raping women and little girls. like his wife Aisha, who was only 6 years old when Muhammad married, and he had sexual relationship with her when she was 9. So I do not know where did this idea that Muhammad is a shy man comes from. But the whole point is that he listened to Umar. He added that verse in the Quran to separate men from his wives. And to that, he gave another order that no one can marry his wives after he dies. Why? Because that will harm Allah. Not Muhammad, but Allah himself. How could this harm Allah? I do not know. But this is what Allah said in the Quran. The third and very important verse which Muhammad took from the tongue of Umar and he inserted in his Quran is that what we read in Quran chapter 66 verse 5. And the story goes there that Muhammad's wives were jealous from one another. And Umar realized it. So he said to them directly, perhaps his Lord, if he divorce you, he will give him other wives better than you. And amazingly, once again, Muhammad took these words from the tongue of Umar and he inserted them in Quran chapter 66 and verse 5. And that's when Allah said, perhaps his Lord, if he divorce you, he will give him other wives better than you. In exchange, Muslims, believers, obedient, patient, servants, fasting, previously married, and virgins. Now he has a question. How can the Quran be the word of Allah when in reality it is not but the repeat of the words of humans or written according to their opinions? Unless we have to believe that Umar, for example, who gave us these three verses, Quran 2:125, Quran 33:53, and Quran 66:5, is a prophet. But no one believes that Umar was a prophet. He is just a human who made these statements and Muhammad was influenced by him and he inserted them word for word to the verses of the Quran. Obviously, as we have seen in our reading of the words of Allah in the Quran, Muhammad sometimes adds other words to the saying of Umar or other humans. Muhammad took the advice of Umar concerning men coming to his house. So he will not allow men to be with them inside the house. And Muhammad claimed that that was revelation of God. And after all, Muhammad was a shy man. He could not say it. But Allah is not shy. And Allah can say whatever he wishes in his Quran. Now Muhammad also took the advice of Umar concerning the jealousy between his wives. And he repeated this word as a threat to them. If they will not behave right, he will divorce all of them and he will end with better wives. Yes, indeed. But here we must say, it is okay for Muhammad as a human to take the advice of Umar and perhaps even practice such advice in his life. But it is not okay in any way, shape, or form for Muhammad to insert these opinions or these words in the Quran, claiming it to be the words of Allah. Now let us move to Quran chapter 2 verse 125 where Muslims claim that Abraham and Ishmael built the Kaaba. And amazingly, because there are some other opinions that actually that Kaaba was built by Adam himself. And now let me share with you that which is written concerning that claim of Muhammad. That is Quran chapter 2 verses 125 through verse 131. And there we read, and when we made the house here once again is the Kaaba, as a resort for people and a haven, and take from the place of Abraham a place of prayer. And we made a covenant with Abraham and Ishmael that purified my house for those who march around it, and the dwellers, and the kneelers, the worshippers. And when Abraham said, my Lord, make this belet, non-Arabic word, from Latin and Greek origin, which means country, secure, and provide its people from the fruit to those who believed among them in Allah and in the last day. He said, and whoever become an infidel, so I will give him a little enjoyment. Then I will force him into the fire of torment, and evil is the final place. And when Abraham was raising the foundations of the house, and Ishmael, our Lord, accept from us, surely you are the hearing, the knowing, our Lord, and make us Muslims to you, And among our offspring, a Muslim ummah. The word ummah here is the word nation, another non-Arabic word from Hebrew and Sumerian origin. To you, and show us our ritual and relent on us. Surely you are the relenting, the merciful. Our Lord, and raise to them a messenger from among them who will recite your verses to them and teaches them the book and the hikmah. The word hikmah here is another non-Arabic word which means wisdom from Aramaic origin, and purifies them. Surely you are the dear, the wise, and who forsakes the religion of Abraham except him who fools himself. And we indeed choose him in this world, and surely in the hereafter he is among the good. When his Lord said to him, be Muslim, he said, I became a Muslim to the Lord of the world.
Have you always wanted to read exactly what the Quran teaches, but didn't know which translation you could trust? Most English versions of the Quran have glossed over many of the troubling passages and sugar-coated the violent and immoral teachings written within Islam's holiest book. After years of careful translation, with assistance from scholars around the globe, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry is pleased to offer the single most accurate modern English version of the Quran ever produced. This study Quran is packed with valuable resources such as detailed study notes for the reader, comments and references regarding the many errors and contradictions in the Quran, careful comparisons with biblical accounts borrowed and corrupted by Muhammad, information regarding the original sources that Muhammad adopted, highlights of non-Arabic words and idioms within the text of the Quran, a detailed table of biblical prophecies about Jesus, and a clear presentation of the evidence for the Bible with a powerful gospel invitation. This modern English translation will equip you with the knowledge you need to reach those lost in the darkness of Islam. Visit us online at www.thestraightway.org to order your copy today. Case discounts are also available. The Straight Way of Grace Ministry travels all across the United States to speak to churches and organizations with captivating and media-rich presentations on a wide variety of topics. Please contact us at 941-223-1703. And now, back to our show.
It is amazing when we read the scripture in the Old Testament concerning the structure of the tabernacle, or later the building of Solomon's temple. We see that God gave Moses the exact information, the material which will be used, the measurements of the tent, all the material which will be used in detail, the gold, the silver, the wood, and the brass, whatever material is used in that structure. And Moses took it exactly, and he brought the wise men to make the tabernacle. A little bit later, when Solomon built the temple, he also followed the direction which was given in the tabernacle, which was made by Moses a good 500 years earlier. Now, when we talk about Abraham building the Kaaba, as Muslims claim that he built that Kaaba, which is in Mecca. Now, we ask the question, what about the other Kaabas? Because we're not talking about one Kaaba. There are plenty of other Kaabas, 7, 8 more. Who knows? Now, who built these other Kaabas? Some other prophets as well? Did Abraham ever go to that place? Where is the information from which we can believe 100% that Abraham built the Kaaba? Except that long prayer and the answer of Abraham to Allah that he will be a Muslim believer in him. From the reading of the word of Allah in the Quran, we have no details about the building of the Kaaba. But listen to how Muslim scholars, or I say fabricators, give us an interpretation to these verses. So they said, the place of Abraham is the rock which on it the leaders pray. They're talking about the imams, the leaders in Saudi Arabia who lead the Muslims in their prayers. And they said, this is the rock which Abraham stood on when he was building the house. I'm sorry, I do not see that anywhere in the Quran. Maybe he have a ladder made out of wood. Maybe he have something else he was standing on to build the Kaaba. How can he be standing on one rock to build the entire Kaaba? How tall was Abraham? Was he also as big as Adam? 60 cubit tall? But listen to the second opinion immediately. And it was said that it was the prince of Abraham's toes, but because people touched it, it disappeared. Allah meant by the words, my house is a Kaaba, that Allah answered the call of Abraham. That is a long prayer which we have read in that passage, Quran chapter 2, verses 125 to 131. And Allah made that country a peaceful country. So no mighty enemy or any invader attack the Saudi Arabia or the place where the Kaaba is, except that Allah have destroyed. But we have a proof that that's not true. Why? Because Al-Hajjaj invaded Mecca and he destroyed the Kaaba and he removed Ibn al-Zubayr from his position as a Khalifa, a successor. And that is a true history we know about from many reliable sources. Now, Muslims once again claim that Abraham built the Kaaba. And they have some strange and weird saying in that matter. For example, they said that Allah sent calmness so that it will show him where he will build the Kaaba. Excuse me, what? Yes, you heard me right. Calmness. Excuse me. When God asked Moses to construct the tabernacle, or when later Solomon built the temple, there was not just some wind, calmness, and that's where they figure out where they build it. No, they had the details of how to build it. But then also they said that a very strong wind. Wait a minute. I thought it was soft wind. Now it became strong wind. Came out. And that wind have two heads like snakes. And Abraham was ordered to build the Kaaba where the calmness came. I do not know how we can even comprehend these nonsensical sayings, but that is what is written in Muslim sources. So Abraham followed it until where he came to the place where Allah wanted him to build the Kaaba. Ibn Abbas said that Allah sent to Abraham the size of the Kaaba, and Abraham walked in its shadow until it stopped where the place of the house would be, and from there he was called, O Abraham, build me as the same size of the shadow of whatever Allah sent to bring shadow on the earth. So somehow Allah brought something to make a shadow on the earth, and that was moving, and Abraham was moving. When it stopped, Abraham stopped, and that's when Allah told him, build me a house as the same spot and the same size of the shadow of that object. We do not know what it is. Allah said, do not add more than it or don't make it less than it. And it also was said that the wind was so strong that it removed all the dirt from the place of the Kaaba and showed Abraham the original foundation which was there for the first house. That is obviously the house which was built by Adam himself. And that is what we read in Quran chapter 22 and verse 26. For there we read, and when we showed to Abraham the place of the house, that you will not partner anything with me and purify my house to those who march around and to those who stand or kneel in worship. And Muslim scholars stated that what happened was that Abraham used to build the house and his son Ishmael will hand him the rocks to build the house. So Abraham is the builder and Ishmael is the helper. Wow, that makes a lot of sense. Now obviously from the true biblical teaching, we know that Abraham never went to Saudi Arabia. Abraham never went to the place where the Kaaba was built. Abraham never built the Kaaba. I mean, literally, we can read the scripture where we can learn about everything about Abraham in his life and no mention whatsoever there about the trip of Abraham to Saudi Arabia or the building of the Kaaba with his son Ishmael. The Bible is very clear. Abraham sent Hagar and her son away when he was around 17 years old. And then we know that Hagar took Ishmael to Egypt, her home country, and he married an Egyptian wife, and he had from her 12 sons. And then we know from Genesis 25 that Ishmael and his descendant lived between Havilah, which is in front of Egypt, and Assyria, and he died at the age of 137. No mention whatsoever about Abraham and Ishmael working as builders or building anything at all. From the book of Genesis, we know that Abraham left with his father Terah from Ur al-Kildanim, and he lived in Haran. Then he went to the land of Canaan. Then he went to Shechem. Then from there, he went to the east, the house of El, and there he pitched his tent, where the house of El from the west and Ai from the east. And there Abraham built an altar to the Lord, and he called on the name of the Lord. Then he went south as he went to Egypt. Then he traveled from south to the house of El and Ai, to the place where he built the first altar. And when he departed from Lot, he lived in the land of Canaan. And the Bible never mentioned anything whatsoever that Abraham went to Saudi Arabia or built the Kaaba in Mecca. I'm amazed that Muslims can make up all these stories out of few words in the Quran. And they all believe that Muhammad is a descendant of Ishmael. The Ishmaelites are the descendant of Ishmael, but the Arabs are the descendant of Keturah. And how in the world Muslims can tie Muhammad to Ishmael when in fact they do not know who is Muhammad's father? Because all Muslims believe that Muhammad's father was Abdullah, the man who died 3 years before Muhammad was born. But you know how Muslim scholars always know how to find an answer for every problem? They claim that women in Islam can be pregnant up to 5 years. So Muhammad is the son of Abdullah, even though Abdullah died 3 years earlier. And to continue our study of commentaries on the Quran, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from Him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and He cannot allow sin into His heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.